This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
The magic of radio, Macca and Madeline. What do you like about radio, Madeline, being, you know, having a microphone? What rings the bell for you?
You don't have to wear makeup.
And if our listeners knew just how beautifully dressed we are, you'd know.
So you don't have to wear makeup. Speak for yourself,
Macca. I know we're all looking very elegant.
Actually, I very rarely wear makeup. I really only wear it on stage anyway. But yes, I love not having to worry about the way I look. That's a big plus for me.
What about you, Demetra? What for you, what rings the bell for you with your involvement with Joy?
Well, firstly, I was a closet listener when Joy first started, and it was a great deal of comfort.
You must have been quite young.
Yeah. Thank you, Macca. I was in my 20s, actually, and it was really valuable to hear voices because I didn't know any other gays in the village. Mm. The irony is, Greek background, I thought I was the only lesbian in the world, and then it occurred to me that lesbian is a Greek word.
Yes.
But being involved at Joy, it's such an important way of connecting our community and the world now. I mean, we didn't have that when Joy first started. And also the fantastic people that I am so lucky to meet, not just within Joy, but then guests who come on the show.
Yeah.
Wow, we are so blessed with amazing people doing amazing work. So it's great to share that.
And, you know, after, you know.
That's the serious answer.
31 years. And in case people didn't know, Joy has the largest digital library of LGBTQIA content, mainly interviews, in the world. And that has been built up over decades by all the people that broadcast on Joy, all the volunteers, you know, supported by our sponsors, supported by our members, supported by donations, that has made that possible to build that up. And when we look at where podcasts come from, you know, Australia, the United States, Germany, I think I might even have a little picture here. And we're going to speak with Angus Crowther in just a moment. We've got him on the line. But if I have a look here, have I got the picture? Probably not. No, I've got weather forecasts for different countries. Where people listen. Interestingly, a country of about 5 million people, Singapore, that accounts for 3% of Joy podcast downloads, which is really interesting. There's only two places that I've never seen downloads from. One is Greenland. I'm not quite sure why. And the other is Antarctica, and I suspect that's because of the cost of the data. But every other place in the world, and particularly places that are not safe places for members of our community, a lot of people listen from there. Anyway, you are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, Macca and Madeline. We have Angus Crowther on the line, do we not?
Not yet.
Yes, I think he's waiting. Yeah. We'll see what the...
Call,
okay, all right.
We could do some traff.
Yes.
And then we'll have Angus on the line.
Yes, we'll just get him on. I think the phone dropped out.
Okay, we'll get him back. Are we ready for some traff?
Yep, go for it. You are on Joy 94.9 Saturday Magazine. Macca and Madeline, it's my pleasure to welcome back a regular guest and commentator, Angus Crowther, co-founder of Tank, spelt T-A-N-C-K. Good morning, Angus. How are you?
I'm really well, Macca. Thanks for having me back, and nice to be with you as well, Madeline.
Thanks. Nice to meet you.
So, Angus, Australian politics this last week or these last 2 weeks.
Another quiet one.
Well, I was going to say what a shitstorm. give us some summary and analysis. You know, how are you seeing it?
Well, it's been a fairly turbulent end to the year, I suppose, to try and put it that way, hasn't it? I mean, there's been so much that's been rammed through the federal parliament with the Albanese government, and I think really trying to give themselves a broad platform from their perspectives to say, look at what we can achieve or what you achieve when you elect a Labor government. And I think to try and take some of the sting out of the frustration across the community that, you know, of views that it's taken them too long to act on different issues. But I think also it's designed to give them the option for an early election next year, should they feel that it's in their best interests to do that. So we've seen a lot of activity federally in that space, but then we've seen a lot of other issues as well, I suppose, at the different state levels. Obviously, there's a new government in Queensland and they're pushing through their agenda very quickly. Issues around very recently, allegations of corruption and referrals to ICAC in New South Wales with Premier Minns, and then a busy political calendar in Victoria and then further afield too. So I know that there's been a lot that's going on, but I think if we were just to focus on the one issue of the federal election, which is really the big yeah. ticket item next year, it's setting the stage for that.
When do you think the Prime Minister, when he makes a decision about something, is actually going to call the election, Angus? What's your... I know it's sort of May, potentially, has to be by August. Do you think they might go a bit earlier?
This is the challenge at the moment, because the dynamics affecting the different drivers for this keep changing. Because I think you know, 6 months ago when it was looking like there might be a interest rate cut in the first quarter of next year, it was looking like they might have a March budget and go straight into an election with a bit of a sugar hit there. But since, you know, Trump has been elected and economists are disagreeing on whether his presidency will be inflationary or deflationary and the exact effect here, that's created more uncertainty, I think. And we've seen that, and, you know, people may have seen the growth figures that came out recently. GDP growth figures were a bit lower than expected. All of that, I think, indicates kind of one way or the other, but in the middle, that the Reserve Bank might wait a little bit longer to cut interest rates. And we're seeing as well that sentiment across the community is fairly negative towards the government. So, you know, 6 months ago, I would have said likely March budget straight into an election. Now I'm thinking March budget and the government holding on as long as they're able to try and win back voter support and voter confidence, because there was also a poll from Redbridge and another group earlier this week that really puts the government in danger in a number of key seats where it just looks like it would be impossible for them to win government. And now it's only one poll. But now I'm thinking that if that were to be reproduced by another, they'd be looking to hold on for as long as they can to try and win back public support and public confidence.
I have a question, Angus. Talking about public support, I wonder what your thoughts are on the comments made by Netanyahu this week and about how the firebombing in Elsterwick reflects on the Albanese government, and he was blaming them for the attack almost. What were your thoughts about that?
It's definitely inflammatory, that's for sure. And it's the rhetoric, you know, the temperature and the rhetoric around this issue, when it sort of looked like it was going cold a little bit, seems to be heating up again. I mean, it's clearly, you know, a political attack because of the Albanese government's change of position with the UN vote that Minister Wong, as foreign minister, has been leading. But I think in Australia, it's and every group is doing this. It's trying to seek positions of leverage in the federal election to try and get their issues prioritised. Yes. And so for that community, while that attack is absolutely deplorable, of course, you know, I can understand that, like, feelings of upset, and that's justified, but there are always political views in this space as well. And so I think it's trying to put pressure on them that way. And we're seeing that kind of reflected at home as well. But there's been sort of 6 to 12 months of that occurring or happening on both sides of the political argument there. So it's perhaps bad timing for the government to look at it that way. Mm-hmm. But there's probably a bigger game that's being played that's yet to sort of reveal itself in the kind of broader geopolitics as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's. I must admit I was a little, well, not surprised when I read those comments by Prime Minister Netanyahu. I thought, okay, there are 156 other countries that did the same vote in the UN. Are you saying the same thing to them, happenings in their country? But anyway, that's, I suppose, a question for another time. In terms of the economy, Angus, you know, you mentioned low GDP growth. The government, you know, the challenge is there's rumours, you know, there'll be more cost of living relief from the government. You know, of course, we need to remember it's actually taxpayers' dollars. It's not government. You know, the government only has our money. Do you really think the possibility of a minority government is quite real, isn't it? And the government's, you know, under attack in a lot of seats, has a lot of challenges. Two in particular, I think are going to be challenging for them are Wills and McNamara. There are others in other states around Australia where the government is going to, you know, and those members are going to struggle really hard to hang on. Your thoughts on that? Do you think in some of those seats, you know, the threat from independents but also from the Greens, how real is that?
I think it's very real at this stage. People are feeling, I think, disaffected or disillusioned with what electing a progressive government has given them. Not necessarily, and this is not to be disparaging of broader views, but just having been in this world, not understanding that it actually takes a long time to turn around the ship of state. And that is really challenging, and it's really hard to accept, particularly when there are multiple and compounding issues that affect people either sort of emotionally and lead them to feel very passionately about issues, or are affecting them in their day-to-day lives as well. So those are difficult realities, and it is very hard to make government move in this space. I think the challenge that every party has, but certainly Labor at the moment, you know, this doesn't seem to be an incumbency advantage at the moment, interestingly enough, is that our demographics are so different. You know, inner city Melbourne is very different to North Queensland, is very different to Western Australia. And we've seen that play out in a range of different issues where the Prime Minister decided to shelve Minister Plibersek's legislation and plans to establish an environmental protection agency to appease Western Australia, because they can't afford to lose the seats in Western Australia that they won at the last election, because it's part of how it helps them win. So that deterioration and then their primary vote for Labor is very, very low at the moment as well. So it is a challenge there, and it is kind of fragmenting. And I think the Teals have proven that they can be very effective. And I don't know if you've seen any of their kind of online fundraising campaigns.
Yes.
But I think they're quite clever, where they're basically, I think the message really is, donate to us so you can stop Trump and Peter Dutton and Gina Reinhart. Right? Yes. It's quite interesting.
You mentioned Trump there and fragmenting demographics in Australia, do you see that as worsening? Do you see that we could actually end up going down the same track as the States with that sort of division that is now so entrenched there, it's almost like it will never be healed?
I think it is possible, because while America has been, I think, they're much further down the road than we are, what we've seen without a doubt is the role, unfortunately, that social media can play in creating those online echo chambers and reinforcing that and accelerating those negative changes. And we're not immune to that here either. I think we have a more cohesive social contract in general. But we need to be careful that we don't take that for granted. And I think maybe for a little while, and this will be the interesting part for social scientists and political scientists to unpack and study. But I think that that has been taken for granted for in some capacity, and we've been slow to wake up to that. So the fragmentation is very real. We are already seeing that. And I think what concerns me often is that we're losing the center. This drift to the periphery of the left and the right is really alarming, because it's kind of these more extreme views or radical views on how to shift issues or solve problems, which tends to be divisive as well, as opposed to having this kind of healthy center with, I suppose, robust debate, where people are able to agree on things with some form of compromise. We seem to be losing the art of that. It's not gone entirely, and there's great work that organisations and people are doing, but I think there needs to be more of a focus there. And it's being reflected in the parliament with more independence. And it's not strictly a bad thing, but it does present a challenge, because we're not very experienced at navigating a parliament with more minor parties and with more of those diverse views.
Yeah.
Peter, Paul Fletcher, senior member of the opposition front bench, member for Bradfield currently, he has made a couple of speeches in the last week or so attacking the Teals, saying, that basically they're the proxies of Labor and the Greens. But the really interesting thing he said was that these independents, a lot of them, their families have, a history of being members of Parliament for the Liberal Party, and that the reason that they're successful is they're relying on that family name. I mean, that is... And, of course, this is someone who got an awful fright in his seat at the last election, had a huge swing against him. I mean, I find that pretty insulting to actually say to someone like Kate Chaney, oh, well, the only reason you're there is because of your family name. Allegra Spender, seriously? I mean, does Paul Fletcher saying stuff like that, Who is he hoping to win over? Independent progressive voters in the centre? What's your take on it, Angus? I find it quite bizarre, to be honest.
I think it is bizarre, and I think that there's two things that come to mind for me. The first is that he's speaking to his base. Mm-hmm. I think it's around consolidation is all that is, to put it very, very simply. The other part is, I think that they've lost the argument, so they're resorting to these kinds of personal attacks, because that's what you do in that situation, right? Or, well, that's what tends to happen. And I don't think that they have, unfortunately for them, a compelling case for change for those voters that they've lost that would convince them to switch back. And there's that kind of piece there. So it's appealing to the base, trying to shore up support there, not having a coherent argument in the alternative, so resorting to sort of more personal attacks. So I'm going to go with three. And then really missing the point in terms of why those people have shifted their votes away and what's happening there. And it's interesting because I think Labor has kind of realised this slowly in terms of why that's happening with their vote, shifting to the Greens. But the Libs have been really much, much slower to realise this. And I guess perhaps it's just a component of conservatism in general, where you seek to conserve broadly. And so new ideas and this kind of stuff is not necessarily well regarded or well looked upon. And you can see that, right, with the way that the Libs federally have brought in, strategists that worked in the Abbott government and this kind of stuff to try and help them win back government. Let's go back to what we did previously that helped us win, rather than looking at new and novel approaches to how to win back support. So, yeah, I think Fletcher has really missed the mark there, except for the point where he's trying to, firm up his base with the people who are already with him.
Angus, just before we wrap up, I just wanted to ask you about the working relationship between Tanya Plibersek and Albanese.
Is there one?
The media always seems to push it that it's sort of very fractured and that they can't work together. But is that just a a media beat-up, or is there really a problem with them?
I think it's a little overblown, to be honest. I don't think it's as, I don't think there's this huge rift in the way that it's often being portrayed, portrayed, I should say, sorry. Might have been a Freudian slip there. But it's, of course, there's going to be, she's very senior within his own faction, and she's worked very hard on this, and it's a legacy piece of reform that she's seeking. So I think there are certainly, there are difficult feelings that are involved in that process. But I think Plibersek is an extremely astute politician, understands the value of working as a team, and has many, many times put the interests of her party ahead, ahead of her own personal interests. So she really is, I think, a values-led and a conviction politician. So while there's probably, you know, there's certainly those difficult feelings, I don't think that the extent to which it's being blown up is accurate.
Thank you.
Thanks again, Angus, for giving us time on your Saturday. We really appreciate it. The listeners love it. We'll be talking to you again real soon, and I hope the rest of your weekend is productive and restful.
Wonderful. Thanks so much to both of you. It was a pleasure to be with you again. Have a great weekend as well.
Cheers.
Thanks, Angus.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, with Macca and Madeline. Stay with us. There's more.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.